All right, so my name is Chrissy McTavish. I'm one lab down from Lauren at the USDA in Wenatchee, and today I'll be talking about how we're utilizing non-targeted metamelomics to eventually characterize the length of cell development on apples. So light is necessary for peel color development in many cultivars. If you limit the light, let's say a sticker, at harvest and remove that sticker, the apple will not develop that red color. However, you can also have too much of a good thing, and you can have too much sun. So in the field, you can have sunburn, or what we refer to as baking, and there can also be after effects once the apples go into storage, one of those being delayed sun scald. Come on. So delayed sun scald is characterized by this blackening of the apple and you can see the sooty, well-defined line, and it usually starts on the sun side of the apple. But it's not really easily detected early on with the human eye. And you can't use blush as an indicator as well, oftentimes. As you can see this picture on the left, this picture was taken at harvest, and these two apples have some degree of blush on them. And then at 6 months, you can see the top apple did not develop the delayed sun scald black sootiness on the apple, but the bottom one did. And once these apples are in air storage, there's really no known treatment to control this disorder. So the best thing to do is avoid delayed sun scald completely. And in order to do this, we really need to understand the effect of sun on the metabolome of these apples in storage. Then eventually we're going to use these results for pathway analyses as well as monitoring target compounds. So in order to do this, we chose four cultivars, Honeycrisp, Fuji, Gala, and Granny Smith. And we chose apples on trees that had good characterization of a sun side of the apple and the shade side of the apple. And we marked the sun side of the apple once we took it off the tree and stored it in air storage for 6 months. And at 0, half a month, 1, 2, and 6 months, we did 3 different extractions on both the sun and shade side of these apples. We refer to these as a polar, nonpolar, and volatile extraction, and I'll get to those in the next slide. And then once we had all of those compounds, we did a PCA and found a pattern of sun to shade side and as well as time. So we supervised that with a PLSDA and then overlaid a two-way ANOVA results on top of that. We auto-scaled the data to reduce heteroscedasticity, and then we used MetaboAnalyst for a lot of the stats, and then Origin to make these plots. So here are the extraction methods, and we use this to really try to get as close to an unbiased sampling as possible of all the metabolome. And it covers the different polarities, different volatilities, and different phenolics. So really, this is close as possible to sampling the metabolome. So we did have a bunch of damage present. Across the top, you can see Honeycrisp developing delayed sun scald. It starts at about 2 months for this apple and then gets progressively worse. The next two rows are Honeycrisp, and you can see lenticel blotch start to develop. The first Honeycrisp apple started to develop at 1 month and then progressively got worse. And then the second apple actually started developing the signs of lenticel blotch at 2 months, then progressively got worse. And then the bottom series of photos is sun bronzing on Fuji. We also did see superficial scald once we put the apples in 68 degrees for a week after 6 months, but there was a little bit of superficial scald without warming them as well. So here is the apple metabolome of the Granny Smith. You can see this is a loadings plot of the PLSDA, and then the size of these shapes represent the VIP scores. And then the colors of these shapes represent the two-way ANOVA results. So if it's in yellow, that means it was significant for both time and side. Blue is just time. Red is significant for side. And then if it's in a white box, that means it was not significant for either time or side. The Y variables are the black stars. So if you draw a line through the origin, on the top of that line, these compounds will be expressing, these compounds will be higher on the sun side of the apple, and then below that line, we will be higher on the shade side of the apple. And then for time, the other response variable, if it's below that line, it'll increase over time, and above that line, it will decrease over time. So just so you all are on the same page with me, if you take these yellow circles, you can see that these compounds increased over time and were higher on the sun side of the apple. So here are the four metabolomes of the varieties we tested, Granny Smith, Gala, Honeycrisp, and Fuji. And you can see they're all pretty similar. They all have the same shape. Gala may have a little bit more significance in time and side, time especially. Honeycrisp seems to have a little bit more significance for side variation. But overall, similar shape, which is interesting. Come on. Here we go. All right, now I'm just going to give you a little bit of a taste of what's going on in the metabolome, and what better way to do that than talk about the quality of the fruit. So anything that is circled in this green color right here is going to be malic acid, which gives the apple its sour taste. And it was found to be higher on the shade side of the apple and decreased over time. So that makes sense. Apples decrease in sourness over time throughout storage. The circles in this purple color right here are going to be sucrose, and those were found to decrease over time in all four varieties, but didn't seem to concentrate on either side of the apple. And once you break down sucrose, you have glucose and fructose. Glucose seemed to concentrate, was found to be higher on the sun side of all four varieties and actually increased over time for Granny Smith and Gala. However, fructose has a little bit of a different story. It was found to be insignificant for time and side for all four varieties. And in Gala, it was actually found to increase over time, but was not found higher on either sun or shade side. So as sucrose breaks down, it ends up into be glucose and fructose, but perhaps fructose is being used in a different pathway. Moving on to the sun-related compounds, anthocyanins are indicated by AN in this graphic. And you can see that they're concentrated on the sun side of all three varieties. And in Granny Smith, it was found to be insignificant for time and side. That makes sense because Granny Smith apples are green. And then the quercetin glycosides are found in to be circled in the black color. And they're higher on the sun side of all four varieties. That also makes sense. And then the compounds circled in blue are the vinylaldehydes, and those have to do with abiotic stress responses, typically. And those were all found to be concentrated on the sun side as well. Now I want to focus on three of these compounds, heparin, which is in that clump of quercetin glycosides, E2-hexanal and E2-pentanal, which are both vinylaldehydes. Okay, so heparin was found to be higher on the sun side for all four varieties, and this seems to agree with previous research but done by the Hernandez group in Chile, and they found that in Granny Smith's, the quercetin glycosides were higher on sun-damaged apples. And Felicetti and Schrader did a study in 2009, and they found that Gala, Fuji, and Honeycrisp, along with two other varieties, also had higher elevated levels of quercetin glycosides, so that fits well with their data. E2-hexanal has actually been found to act as a strong signal chemical that induces abiotic stress responses and abiotic-related transcription factors to be turned on. And that's exciting because they were all concentrated on the sun side of the apple and actually increased over time for Gala and Fuji. And that matches with their data really well. E2-pentanal was the exciting one for us. It's never been really characterized to be related to sun and apples in stress responses. And in 2010, Mano et al. In, I think, Japan, had a transgenic tobacco plant that was expressing tolerance to strong light, and that was due to its overexpression of E2-alkanal reductase. And compared to their wild type actually increased 79 to 290% of this 2-alkanal after illumination. So that really shows that these genes are related to light, and it's exciting that it's in apples. And actually, interestingly, E2-pentanal in Gala seemed to decrease over time, while E2-hexanal was actually increasing. And if you remember, Gala was having a more of a correlation with time than other varieties. That was interesting as well. So in conclusion, sun exposure definitely determined the metabolism on all four varieties that we found. There was differences in sugars. The quercetin glycosides were higher on the sun side of the apple, and the vinyl aldehydes were also higher on the sun side of the apple. There were varietal differences, and there may have been a maturity effect since these were all at different horticultural maturities. However, I do want to the next step would be to focus on Granny Smith's, since they have more expression of delayed sun scald. So really the end goal is to avoid delayed sun scald completely. Our strategy is to detect these early on by monitoring target compounds. Some of those potential targets are quercetin glycosides and vinyl aldehydes. And we're going to take those and take advantage of those properties and study the different pathways. So I'd like to thank my funding of the Washington Tree Fruit Research Commission and the USDA and take any questions. Based on firmness. The question was there a difference in blush firmness between blushed and unblushed? And I actually did not study that, so I don't really have any data on that. I'm sorry. Okay. That would be really interesting. We also see differences in p-chimeryl esters, and that kind of hints at breakdown of the peel and waxes, so that may also have something to do with that. Yes?
You may have said this in your presentation, but could you, how promising do you think it is that these compounds are detectable at an early enough stage, at a harvest, that will allow you to predict whether an apple has developed
a base over time? I think they are pretty promising. The Torres group, the Hernandez paper that I mentioned, found that quercetin glycosides actually decrease as soon as delayed sun scald development starts. So I think if we can track those, we can see if it has a risk of delayed sun scald and then maybe pull those earlier than they would have been.
So